Good afternoon. On behalf of the Commonwealth Club of California, the World Affairs Council of Northern California, I'm very pleased to welcome you to our event with Andrej Kiska, President of the Slovak Republic. I'm Barbara Pivnica, Honorary Counsel of the Slovak Republic and Advisory Board Member of the Commonwealth Club. Please allow me to give a brief description of today's sponsoring organizations. Commonwealth Club of California is the nation's oldest and largest public affairs forum, bringing together its more than 20,000 members for over 400 annual events on topics ranging across politics, culture, society, and economy. The World Affairs Council of Northern California offers a nonpartisan forum on critical international issues and opportunities. You can find information about the Commonwealth Club at commonwealthclub.org and about the World Affairs Council at worldaffairs.org. It's my pleasure to introduce today's distinguished guest. Andrej Kiska assumed the office of the President of the Slovak Republic in June 2014, having been elected with 59% of the vote. President Kiska holds an engineering degree in microelectronics from the Slovak Technical University in Bratislava. After graduation, he worked as a design engineer in Poprad, Slovakia. In 1990, he went to the United States, where he worked as a shop assistant at a gas station store, and later as a construction site handyman for 2 years. Returning to Slovakia, he held various positions and conducted business activities for 15 years. He founded several companies, the most successful of which were Triangle and Quattro, which provided financial services to more than 1 million people and became one of the most successful consumer credit companies in Slovakia. In 2005, he sold his stake in these companies to devote himself to philanthropic work. In 2006, the following year, he founded, with a personal donation of 1 million euros, a nonprofit agency called Good Angel. Good Angel helps families in financial distress due to a serious life-threatening illness of a child, and it has become the most successful charitable organization in Slovakia today, with another Good Angel organization formed in neighboring Czech Republic. Today, President Kiska will address both the challenges and opportunities that arise from enlargement of the EU in his talk, Slovakia at the Core of European Integration. Slovakia, as you know, joined the European Union 10 years ago in what was dubbed a Big Bang enlargement. In view of recent events in Ukraine, the power of European integration and Eastern enlargement of the EU, the power of European integration and Eastern enlargement of the EU is seen as critical in fulfilling the concept of Europe as whole and free. It's my very great pleasure to welcome to the Commonwealth Club and World Affairs Council President Andrej Kiska.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I have been now in the U.S. for 8 days. I can tell you, we all from our group, we are tired. But I was really looking forward to be with you, and it's my great honor to speak here at Commonwealth Club, the oldest and the largest public affairs forum in the U.S. Let me start my speech on a personal note. As you already heard, my life was very often connected with the U.S. I remember clearly my enthusiasm coming to the U.S. in the early 90s. I left my wife, pregnant wife, and little son at home and came here as a young engineer to look for a job. I worked manually at a construction site for first. They fired me after 2 days. Then I got a job at a gas station, and not long after, I got the offer for more money. I was told, you will get $4 per an hour, but you can work for 2 more hours a day and 7 days a week. So actually, you will earn more than now because I had $5 per an hour. I was told, and of course, I took it. I must not stress that working every day for 7 months without a single day off, 100 hours per week, was tough. And just before going back to my family, after 1.5 years working here, I was given an offer to open and run an office of an American company in Slovakia on condition that I buy shares in this company. If you think that this was not the best idea, you are right. The company bankrupted 6 weeks after I returned home, and I lost almost all my money I earned during my staying here in the US. Some would say my American dream was actually a disaster. But this is not the way I see it. My most important American experience was the importance of stand up again after an unsuccessful project. It turned out to be one of the main factors to my future successful business and charity. My personal story is very similar to the story of my country, Slovakia. After the Velvet Revolution in 1989 and the peaceful split with the Czech Republic a few years later, Slovakia went through quite challenging years. However, we managed to turn these challenges into a success story. It was not easy, but Slovakia went through not one, but four successful transformations in the past 25 years. First, from a communist satellite of Soviet Union to a dynamic liberal democracy with very active civil society and the EU and NATO member. Second, from centrally planned economy to an open market economy, well both connected to Western and Eastern markets. Third, from a producer of heavy machinery and weapons to a booming economic environment based on modern technologies. And fourth, from an object of international affairs to a country taking active part in helping to resolve crises all over the world. We know that this success wouldn't have been achieved without the support of our partners, and here I want to mention specifically the crucial role of the US. Slovakia is strongly committed to the transatlantic partnership. NATO, together with the EU, is the backbone of our security and economic prosperity. 25 years ago, we were seeking the protection of NATO umbrella. Today, we help expanding this protection in Europe and beyond. We were at European periphery. Today, we are at the core of the European integration. Therefore, let me tell you about three areas our European Union experience, security, and economic prosperity. I don't want to bore you with the traditional political checklist of all our successes. But let me remind you the old wisdom. The road is more important than the destination. The road towards the EU generated the positive energy of Slovaks. We had a dream. Our dream was to be reunited with democratic and prosperous European countries. Our experience with Prime Minister Vladimir Mečiar's policy in the 90s and its consequences was in retrospect very useful. Yes, it is true. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. At that time, our citizens could relatively easily conclude that life in the EU was far more promising than being left out as a black hole of Central Europe. So the Slovak citizens decided rationally and very rightly in favor of European values and membership in the EU. And Slovakia, surprised partner in Europe, after putting a gear in carrying out democratic and economic reforms that resulted us in catching up our neighbors. More than 10 years after Big Bang EU enlargement, I can slightly metaphorically assert that poetry has been replaced by prose. Idealistic period in Slovakia's attitude towards European Union was followed by hard work on new commitments and common challenges. Let me mention some of them. First real test of our commitment came shortly after Slovakia introduced common European currency in 2009. Yes, it was global financial crisis which transformed into euro crisis pretty quickly. And it escalated into one of the biggest challenges for the EU institutions and ability of our member states to cooperate and find solutions. It was rather depressing to read newspaper at the time. It looked like the end of the EU as we know it, it's unavoidable. Euro crisis was a manifestation of fragile financial, economic, and institutional framework of our monetary union. In fact, so fragile, many thought that that experiment with common currency in a different sovereign countries is over for good. But we somehow managed to handle the crisis and successfully coordinate effort of that at that time 27 sovereign countries, member states, to find a solution. It is a kind of miracle. Just think about it. 27 states changing common rules, regulations, their own legislative, and sharing huge financial cost in a span of a few months. This is still unimaginable and unparalleled in any part of the world. Euro crisis did not remain without impacts of Slovak society and its political system. The issue was very high on the agenda ahead of the parliamentary election in 2010. The quarrels within the government majority formed after 2010 parliamentary elections brought about fall of the liberal conservative government. This was the first time in the recent Slovak history that dispute on big European issue has become crucial factor in domestic policy and even caused the fall of the government. To put it a bit sarcastically, the Slovak Republic joined the club, so-called old member states of the EU also in this area. But I am convinced that there is one important lesson we learned, and I hope it will contribute to the better understanding of the European project by our citizens and politicians. On the edge of Europe catastrophe, we found out that being the member of the EU does not mean right to make use of the financial European funds only. It is far more about sticking to the old rule. One for all for one. Slovakia adopted rules committing country to much tougher budget discipline. Together with contributing to the common funds aimed and helping those who need the help. Despite all difficulties, European Union enjoys convincing the trust of Slovak citizens. And I am very, very proud that more than 2/3 of our citizens support the European Union. This example only confirms that crises, provided they are well managed, may strengthen mutual cohesion. To put it differently, every crisis also brings a change for doing it better. Ladies and gentlemen, this is very relevant also for the new crisis we are now facing. Crisis in Ukraine, the second big test of our commitment to European values in recent time. There cannot be a more suitable time to discuss how security is interconnected. Even though from the west coast of the US it may seem that Ukraine is far away, trust me, it is not. Just like the acts of unimaginable brutality of the ISIS are not far from us in Europe or from people in other continents. How intensively we assist by handling the situation in our neighboring country will affect the world we will be living in the future. We thought we won't see European borders changing in 21st century. And yet, the recent developments in Crimea have proven us wrong. There is a little doubt that the developments in Ukraine have shaken the post-Cold War architecture. We cannot tolerate a situation when a sovereign country cannot choose freely its path and partners. When countries do not follow the UN Charter, our world changes for the worse. It is absolutely crucial that the EU and the US show clear position and unity in their response to the crisis in Ukraine. Coordinated action have shown Russia that its divide and rule tactics in Europe will be not successful this time. Sometimes it seems wrongly concerned more with Putin himself than with conditions in Ukraine. That's why position of Slovakia on Ukraine could be read not as anti-Russian, but pro-Ukrainian. And I would like to mention the Slovak specific contribution to our common effort, namely, very quick opening of the reverse road for delivering natural gas to Ukraine. Gas coming from Slovakia provides for 40% of Ukraine import needs. I think this is a good example how to show solidarity and help partners in difficult times. Again, it was not easy. You remember 40 years ago, Henry Kissinger complained about not having a single European phone number. He was right in hinting at the problem of the lack of European coordination in the field of foreign and security policy. Today, EU has High Representative of the Common Foreign and Security Policy. It has common EU delegation and crisis management missions. It has its efficient sanctions policy, and first of all, the EU speaks with far more united and stronger voice. This doesn't mean there are not good reasons to doubt EU efficiency in the foreign public policy area. Many critics are rightfully pointing at too much pragmatism, or, as I would put it, at national egoism. But on the other side, there are many positive examples as well. Dealing with Ukraine crisis represents one of these examples. When comparing to the US, the EU did not need much more time for introducing the sanctions, even though the decision-taking process in the USA are much easier and quicker. Remember, we needed consensus of 28 independent states. About that, the EU is incomparably more economically interconnected with Russia, not speaking about different perception of threat. It is important to remind us that sanctions do not negatively impact only Russia, but EU states as well. Despite that, 28 member countries are not only keeping unity on sanctions, but they showed capacity to act relatively quickly and efficiently. This should be not forgotten when assessing the EU's efficiency in the dealing with crisis in Ukraine. Ladies and gentlemen, it's perfectly clear that there will be no stability in Europe with an unstable Ukraine, especially in times when Russia tries to systematically undermine the current security architecture. The situation in many parts of the world creates concern as well, rising extremism in the Middle East, tensions in the South China area, require us to uphold the transaction bond and to commit to keeping it strong. A few months ago, we may have thought that the initial goal of our transatlantic alliance to protect its member had been fulfilled thanks to the political development around the world. We may have thought that the alliance, since its birth, has been acting so wisely and efficiently that now, of the age of 65, we can peacefully enjoy fruits of its lifetime achievements. Well, we were wrong. We were misled to think it's enough to have alliance's primary goals written in a birth certificate. It is not enough. Just look at how Article 5 is being mentioned more and more recently in a very specific context. In fact, it's being mentioned more often than in previous decades, including several Cold War periods. I am not emphasizing it because I think it's time for the worst case scenarios. I am emphasizing it because when it comes to security, I feel the need to underline there is no other efficient organization. There is no other guarantee, and there are no better principles than those NATO is based on. Ladies and gentlemen, Slovaks have worked hard and tightened their belts a lot to cope with their harsh economic environment in Central Europe in past 25 years. It has paid off. Conditions have been set up in the place to support significant economic development. Currently, estimates for Slovakia's economic growth are among the highest in Europe. Enlargement of the EU has been a true win-to-win situation. Slovakia's citizens have benefited remarkably from the accession, and so has the European Union as a whole. After 10 years, Slovakia is not a newcomer anymore. In fact, Central Europe has developed into one of the most dynamic regions in Europe. Only through this enlargement of the EU has been able to link up opportunities across Europe and create the biggest single market in the world. However, the EU and Eurozone membership was not a goal in itself. It helped us to create more opportunities for foreign direct investment and more business abroad. Case in point, Slovakia is the biggest exporter of cars per capita in the world. But we do not want to get complacent about this success. I have made economic and innovation cooperation between our countries the main focus of my visit here to the US. Slovakia has a lot to offer. We have a very strong IT sector with a growing cybersecurity cluster, an excellent material, and biotech research and booming startup ecosystem. To support efforts to increase Slovak and the EU trade with the US in the future, we need a comprehensive agreement on economic cooperation between Europe and the US. The Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership will provide us such a framework. Slovakia will do its utmost to support an early conclusion of the negotiation. For us, Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership goes beyond economy. Increased trade and economic interdependence will reinforce the political bonds across the Atlantic and tie the US even closer to Europe, and this we find equally important. Slovakia doesn't want to become an economy dependent on one area of export. For higher and sustainable economic growth, we must build an innovation-driven economy now. While we recognize the importance of more traditional industries, such as automotive industry, we have to focus on sectors such as ICT, cybersecurity, new materials, or biotech. We have to focus on research and development, and we have to help Slovak startups expand to global markets. We see the great value in regional cooperation. Together with our neighbors from the Czech Republic, Hungary, and Poland, we are the 15th largest economy in the world and fourth largest EU exporter. All four countries of Visegrad Group have the most open economies in the EU, with export growing three times faster than export of all EU 15 in the past 10 years. It's critical for our countries to work together in supporting innovation, and we have to join forces to make our region visible here in the United States. There is no better way to do it than through the global successful startup companies, and no better place to do it than in Silicon Valley. In Slovakia, we do not forget how hard it was to get where we are now. We do not forget how much effort and sacrifice it required. And as I said, we do not forget how important the support of our partner was. Ladies and gentlemen, at the beginning I mentioned that the success story my country has become over the past 20 years. These 2.5 decades have been a story of strong transatlantic partnership. The US helped us to become a part of the Euro-Atlantic family, and our soldiers have fought and died shoulder to shoulder with Americans in Afghanistan and in Iraq, defending common values. This is what friends and allies do. Thank you very much for your attention.
Our thanks to Andrej Kiska, the President of the Slovak Republic. My name is Jeff Blaise. I'm a former U.S. ambassador, partner at Munger, Tolles & Olson, and a member of the board of the World Affairs Council, and I'll be moderating today's audience participation period. Thank you, Mr. President, for your very thought-provoking remarks, and not surprisingly, they've provoked a lot of thoughts. So I will get right into it. There are a number of questions about relations with Ukraine, which sits on your eastern border. You are blessed by being on the more comfortable side of Ukraine these days, its western edge, but clearly you're paying close attention to it. First question is, do you think Ukraine will ever join NATO?
You know, we have to think more deeply. First, I want to tell you, yes, we have the border with Ukraine. And the second, what for Slovak, for our country, is very important that in the history we had twice, in 1938 and 1968, that a bigger country than us decided about our future. And I think it's crucial and very important for small countries to have someone, if really the rules are broken, that there is someone who would help. And I think that what is very important first is to let Ukraine people decide by themselves where they want to be. And they should decide really by themselves, not under weapons or any press. And we know it from Maidan, from the what happened, that they showed us they would like to be a part of our democratic Europe. They would like to be. And we, other countries, should do our best to help them if they want to join us. And we can discuss then about a lot of things, how we can help them. And coming back, first, I would like to see, really, I would like to see Ukraine being a member of European Union. And of course, then, if times is good, to be a member of NATO.
Well, you've been a forceful advocate for Ukraine's independent judgment by its people overall, but that has put you at odds, at least in the media's view, with your prime minister, who you defeated in the 2014 election. How do you understand the differences between your perspectives on Russian sanctions and the future of Ukraine as your neighbor?
First, what I am proud of, that our country never hesitated. We always take all sanctions which were approved by European Union, and we had, like, there were no issue. And on the other hand, what I mentioned on my speech, We were not only the talking about the help to Ukraine, but really we did a good thing. We invested more than 10 million euros to be able to put the Ukraine, the natural gas, reverse to from other countries. Because I think all of you know that Ukraine really depends on natural gas, and winter is coming. Winter is coming very quickly. And in our part of the world, we have a really bad winter. So we invested 10 million, more than 10 million euros to give them a gas, and it gave the opportunity to support them with 40% of their potential or of their needs of the imports. So we really did a help, and there were no other issues regarding whatever said. So that's for me the most important message.
And now, you're at that critical point in American politics of around the first 100 days, and one of the important actions that you've taken in those first 100 days is this gas support to Ukraine. What would you say are some of your greatest achievements in the first 100 days?
100 days is short time. It's very short time. But there are two things. First, the justice in our country, it's not on good level. From the European Union, the trust in justice in Slovakia is on the lowest level. And there is a big power, or there is a potential that president can use his power for nominate judges and to help justice. So I really focused very hard on the first 100 days to help justice. And you can imagine for all entrepreneurs, for all foreign partners coming to Slovakia, that the justice is just, it's very important. And I am very glad that after these 100 days, we can see a first result. And the most important is, if I speak today with the really good, the honest judges, they said, yes, it's moving, and it's moving in the right way. So that's the first thing. And of course, me as a person who has never been in any political party, who has never been a politician before, for me, I want to fight for people. So I'm trying to meet them as often as possible, trying to meet all the groups. They really need the help.
That's an interesting point, that you're the first president of the Slovak Republic who doesn't come from a political party or a partisan background. How has that affected your leadership, and do you think it's been more of an asset or more of a challenge beginning your tenure?
It's in all our countries in European Union, or all, I would say, in the previous socialistic party in our country of Europe, you can see some disappointment with politicians. They are losing the trust. People are less and less willing to go for voting. And so there is a big need for new people coming to politics. And so I think that was now it's a great time, and I am always encouraging young people and new people, please go and join and try to change our country and become a politician, not just to speak that the things are not doing well, but also to do something for that. So I am really encouraging new people coming to become a politician and to help also me in my way to help our country.
Well, this is being played on National Public Radio. And again, we are with President Kiska, the President of the Slovak Republic, Jeff Blanche, moderator and member of the World Affairs Council Board. You mentioned innovation and the excitement of young people about innovation. You just came up from San Diego. Are there any particular ideas that you're taking from there that you're excited to bring back to Slovakia with you?
Sure. First, I took to our plane 25 young people, startups people, with fantastic ideas. We even on our mission is there are people who have been working for 15 years, I think, and now they have first real flying car. And it should be promoted in LA, I think, in a couple of weeks. So we have fantastic new talented people, and the companies like IBM, Dell, AT&T, they opened the businesses, the offices in our country, employing thousands of young people. So we have a potential. We have a really strong IT people. Maybe some of you are known with the software ESET, which is security software, is absolutely world leader. And this is also coming from Slovakia. So we have a potential of very talented young people. What we have to do, we have to give them the possibility to use their ideas and to do a new business. And of course, new business means more jobs for Slovaks. And so when we were in San Diego, we opened a Slovak American Innovation Center, which is, if anyone from young Slovak has an idea how to do a business here or to make an export or import or whatever with the U.S., there is a building and there are people ready to help with the marketing, accounting, lawyers, whatever. If the idea is, there is a help for Slovak young Slovak talented people. And I think it's great. And of course, we try also to encourage the foreign investor to coming to our country and showing how talented people we are. And you can trust me as being in business for almost 20 years, if anyone wants to open a business in Slovakia, me as a president, I would do my best to help.
Well, Mr. President, I think your message about wanting Americans to come over and experience Slovakia and contribute their own innovations, at least had already reached a couple of our audience members, so I will read their questions. One of them is a practical question. Do you think the question problem, as they phrase it, about double citizenship will be open again?
I'm glad that I have here a Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and we were on a meeting on Slovaks in New Jersey this Sunday we were on 2 days ago. Now I am really lost after all these days traveling here. Sorry for that. So may I ask you, Mr. Lajcak, to tell what is, because here I present our government. So please, could you tell us what's going on with this?
With pleasure. Good afternoon. My name is Miroslav Lajcak. I'm Deputy Prime Minister and Foreign Minister of Slovakia. And yes, we are confronted with this issue. There are different models regarding the citizenship in Europe. We changed the law in 2010 to react to the law which was adopted by one of our neighbors, which was basically giving away citizenship to citizens of other countries. So we wanted to protect our citizens, but there's a collateral negative effect. Number of our people who are living, working in the United States, in Europe, in Australia, have lost their citizenship. So we are working on it. We have a draft law ready. We are now basically analyzing this draft law vis-a-vis our commitments to the Council of Europe, European laws, and I am quite certain that we will change the law within weeks or if not months. Thank you very much.
You heard it here first. That's why you tune into KQED, National Public Radio, and the World Affairs Council. Another question is, what can a young person wanting to come over to Slovakia expect, either as a tourist or coming in? So this is your chance to tell us about some of the splendors of Slovakia.
Slovakia is a beautiful country. It's a great country, trust me. We have not a fantastic country. We have also great people, very friendly, speaking English. And when I speak with young people, for them one of very funny thing is that the pint of beer cost $1. So for them, but so great, it's a great good deal. So really, as a tourist, and I live in mountains. I was living all my life, not in the capital of Slovakia, Bratislava, but I was living in mountains all my life, and my family is still in High Tatras. It's just great. Really, trust me, it's a great country. If you come as a business person, you would find people willing to work very, very hard. Really, Slovaks are able to work very hard and trying to be very honest
to their employer. And I know a lot of foreigners who are the owners of the companies in Slovakia. We have companies from all around the world. And they say you have a great, really great people, hardworking. So these are two advantages. Please come as a tourist, try to see. And if you have any idea or any potential being in a European market, in European Union, you are more than welcome in Slovakia.
Thank you. You've presented a very optimistic view of Slovakia's future. What keeps you up at night? As president, what are your concerns in terms of bad case scenarios?
One of the crucial issue what I can see, and that's why of the reason why we are here, we were also on the East Coast, and here we are on West Coast, is the quality of our universities. Quality and connection with real practice. We had like a boom of the universities. The funny thing in Slovakia is that the university gets money per number of students. Doesn't react on the results, how successful the students are, but if you open the university and you have students, you get a certain amount of money. Doesn't matter how good you are. And it's crazy because, of course, coming from business, I would say, please, all Slovaks, come to my university because I would get the money for each head, for each student. So this has to be changed. This has to be changed, and the quality of universities, and especially a connection with a real need of the business, has to be dramatically changed. I got a lot of complaints that we have a lot of assistants with the making a coffee after finishing university. A lot of our students are directly going to West Europe to work on as manually work people. But what I can say, and I am really glad that the government now put a new minister of for schools, for universities, and we had very good cooperation. And I think that the changes which are needed will be done.
President Kiska, you also mentioned in your inaugural speech as president that one of the challenges for Slovakia was eliminating corruption. And you've already mentioned that in the justice system, you've worked to restore public confidence in your judicial system. What other areas were you specifically focused on, and what have you got in mind for addressing corruption issues?
Corruption. Not easy. In a lot of countries of previous socialistic system, corruption is almost all anywhere. Even in doctors, you go to doctor, and sometime you have to give him the money under the table to get a good treatment, and that's not good. To change the mind of the people, because it's really going so deeply. Of course, first thing is we have a saying that the fish smells from the head. I don't know whether you have the same saying in the in the U.S. What it means that, of course, the first the people can see a lot of corruption on political side, and there are no real politicians who would be put in jail, although a lot of people can see that the money are just disappearing. So this is one of the things which, and I am glad that with the Minister of Justice, we started really to work very hard to change our justice and to work in the way as it should work. And it's a lot of discussion in our country about the corruption, and I think it's also the question for our society, for our young people with their ideas to really be strong on the issue that if someone asks for uplatok,
right,
so they would say, no, I will not give and maybe to go to police or somewhere and to say what's going on. And that's where we need a help also from our society, from young people, and we need to change a little bit the climate in our country, knowing that if someone is doing something wrong, the justice would work.
One of the issues that's been raised in the questions is how do you use your power as president, head of state, as opposed to the head of government, to accomplish those sorts of things? Is it the power of being the conscience for your country, or are there other levers that you wield?
To understand Slovak system, the executive power has a government. President has no executive power. So it's very important to understand. But the president is elected by people. So I speak in behalf of 60% of Slovaks who joined the election. And this is a strong voice. And of course the government, although has executive power, is listening to the president, and president should put the questions and waiting for answers, putting the questions to our ministers, to our prime ministers, to anyone who is in our society. And this is one of the crucial issue, to have someone who is able in behalf of the people to put a topic on the table and push the government to speak about it. Our government is the government of one party. Of course we have some independent minister like Mr. Lajčák is, who is not a member of the party, but still is the our government is one party government. So it's very these days it's very important to have someone on the other side saying, listen, these things are good and these things are not good. As a president, I have the right to ask minister to give me explanation about any topic which I need. So if I see the issues which are growing and I see that the strong voice of president should be used, I would use it. It's the same as I do it with Ukraine now. I am saying exactly what is my position and what is the position in behalf of people who I represent.
The U.S. and the Slovakian economies have recovered substantially from the time of the global financial crisis. The U.S. Dow is down at 6,500. Now it's over 17,000. But there's still a concern within the U.S. that we haven't fully gotten over the effects of the global financial crisis, and we're looking for ideas about things that work. One of these questions is, do you think Slovakia has fully recovered from the GFC? And to the extent that you see improvement, to what do you attribute it?
Yes, what I would like to mention that here in the U.S. you were fighting with the crisis more aggressively. You had no problem to fight with the banks, and you were strong, and then why maybe it was painful, recovery is now, it's nice. In European Union, we try to find a little bit softer way, and I was glad to Slovakia has last few years 3% increasing of GDP, so it's a very nice number. So Slovakia is doing very well, and what is advantage of small country comparing with the big countries like, I don't know, Germany or France, but Germany is doing very well, but let's say big countries generally comparing. In small countries, you can do changes relatively quicker than in big countries. It's like small ship and big ship. If you want to change the rule of the big ship, it takes a long time to make a turn. In small ship, you can do it relatively easily. And Slovakia, with 5 million people and with very good financial sector, we really had a very good, we had no one bank closed, no problems for people, nothing really happened. Of course, we had some affection of the price of the houses went down 15%, but now it's again increasing. So Slovakia is doing very well because thanks to really small and technologically oriented industry which we have. As per our contribution to solving the crisis, we really, and I am proud of our government. They keep the budget under control. Really, they keep the budget under control. They try to do their best to really, and it's not easy. We have to say it's not easy. We have nowadays our loan as a state is 55% of our GDP. What is fantastic number, you know. I am sure that there are some economists here going below 90 is still fantastic number, and we have 55%. Even now we have a strict restrictions because from our perspective is a high number. So that's our contribution. We are very responsible country in European Union.
Another question that I think reflects Americans' own concerns about our healthcare system. You had mentioned that part of the purpose of your charity was to support families when a family member becomes very ill and throws off the economics. We have that same challenge in the U.S. They've asked you to describe your healthcare system and any areas, having lived here in the United States, where you see opportunities for the U.S. to improve.
This is a big difference. I remember being here and in these 1990s, and they told me, listen, Andre, if you really have an accident, if your leg is broken, of course, we didn't have any insurance, no insurance at all. It is a big issue. It costs tremendous amount of money. So what was the threat for all of us as immigrants living here was just don't be sick, don't have an accident or something, because we are like out of game. That was, and I was luckily at that time relatively young. When I came here, I was 27 years old. So I was like, okay, what would happen to me? So this was really, I felt here unsafe. Comparing in our country, anything happened to you, you are covered by the insurance. We have very good first aid system. It's going in 3-4 minutes almost to any place. You go to doctor and everything. What is not good is that the standard of healthcare, maybe sometime the treatment which you get is as not good as you would get here in the best hospitals. But as per I helped the children with we helped our charity to help the children with cancer, and the treatment which children get here in the US is exactly the same they have in Slovakia. Survival rate here is a little bit higher, it's like more than 80. In Slovakia is 77%, but treatment is on good level. What is another issue, but in Slovakia, and why I opened the charity, is that if someone becomes sick, like let's say there is a mom with one kid and she lives alone, and the son get a cancer, and she has to stay with hospital with him, that her income is going so low that she's not able to pay apartment. So that's what our charity did, was if anyone with families where one of the member of family gets a cancer, we support them to cover for all time of treatment, to cover the expenses. So this is the issue of our country, that families, once becoming sick, it's a problem for really old people. If they are two living together, they are fine. But if one of them died, the second is sometimes not able to pay the rent for apartment. And these are the problems which we focus on, but I think you have the same problem here. And this is not a problem only in our country, but that's the way how I see it and what we did in our charity.
So in many ways, you're covering lost income and lost opportunity, less than overburdening medical expenses that the family can't cover. Is that?
Yes.
Yes.
And what I would like to mention, one thing comparing the system, because we had some kids with a very bad brain tumor, and I tried to find a way to treat them here in the U.S. And comparing, for example, with Germany, where is also the treatment on very good level, here it was 3 times more expensive than in Germany. Yeah. And that, of course, arises the question, how efficient is the system, how everything is set up. That's just of the my experience which I had.
Yeah, well, Mr. President, you went from being an entrepreneur, a philanthropist, a non-public figure, to now being on the world stage. Are there any world leaders who you've met thus far in the first few months that have surprised you or become people who you see as real thought partners?
I met all our presidents around. I visited all the countries, Czech, Hungarian, Austrian, Germany, Poland, of course. And then I was on NATO meeting in Wales. I had a very nice speech with Mr. Obama. We had a discussion about Ukraine situation. And I can tell you that my feeling is that meeting these people, they are real leaders. You can feel when you speak with them, you can see the charisma going from them. You see their enthusiasm to solve the problem. And so so far I have a very positive reaction. Of course, I met some partners, I met some presidents who were for me a little bit like pessimistic. They were like missing something like the energy to fight. They were saying everything is wrong in our country. Okay, but you are a president, so why you are complaining to me? You should do something. And that's surprised me. That's from some presidents I go to this feeling about that maybe they are not exactly on the right position.
Yeah, George F. Wells said the reason he liked being a pessimist was because you're either right or you're pleasantly surprised. One of the new challenges for your region is the flow of refugees, particularly from Syria, over 140,000 refugees coming up. Many have gone into Turkey and then still quite a distance through that region, but it affects your neighbors in Bulgaria, Romania, Hungary. What are your thoughts about the European response to this flood of refugees?
So first, I think we have to help. The second, what is very important to understand that all the countries where Slovakia belongs, we are in Schengen place. So anyone going to Slovakia, there is no border to going to Germany or to Austria or to France. So of course the immigrants, if they come, they don't stay in our countries. On the lower level, they go to Germany, they go to France, they go to other countries. So this is Italy has a big problem. So first, we need to find a way how to help, because of course, if refugee coming from the country, there is a real big problem where maybe they are under the threat of losing their life. We have to find a way, and European Union has to find tools how to make for them environment to be able to live in our countries. Yes, there is, of course, then the discussion because it's a different religion, it's a different mentality, different standard of living. But you can see a lot of places in Europe, for example, in Germany, where there is no issue. They live together. I think even these countries can get a lot from these immigrants. How you get here in the U.S., a lot of talented people were coming here and working here, and we can get an advantage from this. And always the new culture, new everything helps the society to be better, to be a different. So I think that's the way how we, as a member of European Union, should consider immigrants.
Well, you have been a unapologetic advocate for the European Union. How do you see recent efforts for separatism, particularly the recent vote in Scotland and Catalonia, both in terms of the impact on the EU, but also prospects for the future?
Scotland was very important. It was a very important issue. What I really liked was that there was a big discussion, a lot big participation of the voting, and for us as the member European Union, it was a good one that yes, people would like to stay. and me, and going from different approaches, from business approach, from the approach of people, because really what European Union does is helping to create jobs. When we opened our border and we have the euro currency and everything, is making the most important part for our people is to creating jobs, giving a better salary. And so that's why me as a president of a relatively small country of 5 million people, I see the importance of European Union. In this world, we should join together. We should be more and more together. And that's why I'm saying I would be glad if Ukraine becomes a member of European Union in the future. I am glad that we together make this transatlantic TTP project together with the US. We should join together, use each country has its own advantage. So we should put together, and in the end what it makes is it makes the life better for people. And that's why we are politicians, to help our people to live on a better level.
There's a question from the audience, someone from Kosovo, who raises questions about global integration and globalization, and in particular asks whether this might not increase transaction costs across jurisdictional boundaries and be at odds with some democratic preferences, at least in countries that are more isolationist or more wary of globalization.
Kosovo. I think that, and I don't want to repeat myself again, we should do our best to help other countries to become the part of one big democratic Europe. We had the same problem, Slovakia had the same problem 23 years ago, you know. We became Slovak independent country, and we wanted to join the West democratic Europe. And there were discussions in West Europe, would we like them to be the part of our like place? You know, Slovakia, they just this discussion, and they were not sure about us. And we have the sometimes, you know, if we have a discussion about the new countries, about possibility to join them to European Union, I'm saying, listen, just a couple decades ago, we were in the same position, and how glad now we are that we are the member of European Union. So now we should do the same for the other countries which would like to join the European Union. Of course, there are some standards and everything. It takes a time, nothing hurry. But yes, we would need to help. And as per Kosovo, I would be glad if together once we join in one Europe.
Mm-hmm. You've received a number of questions that all, I think, relate to your assessment of Vladimir Putin's intentions and Russia's intentions in not only Ukraine, but more broadly. One of the questions asked, you know, is this sort of a temporary effort for President Putin to claim some victory as he's losing Ukraine to EU and more of the states are throwing in their lot with the EU? Or is this something that is a longer-term play which should worry people in the United States and throughout Europe?
You know, I think what we lost in Mr. Putin or what we lost in Russia is a trust. Couple years ago, everyone of us believed that together we could fight against terrorism, that together we can cooperate. Now we lost the trust. And losing trust in politics, it's a big issue. And no one of us know what is in Putin's head. No one knows where what is the end of his plan. And that's why we are saying we have to be united, to have the, if not the one strong voice, European Union and the US, to have the voices saying the same and showing that, yes, we are together and we are ready to fight for democracy, and this is very important to show that, and if we are really united and if we really keep together, we for sure we would win.
Yeah. Well, Mr. President, one last question before we go. You left here before having lost your first job, having worked in a gas station, and then losing your fortune. You come back as the president of the Slovak Republic. First, how does it feel to be back? And and what's your favorite thing that you've experienced in this trip throughout the United States?
Sometime the American dream has to happen back at home.
President Kiska, you have not disappointed. This is an absolutely enlightening hour, and thank you very much for joining us here at the Commonwealth Club.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.